I invite all of you to open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter number 1. And today, we begin a section that I just always wrestle with the best way to approach this in our modern day society. This is a tech manual for the priests and Levites in the time of the tabernacle and the temple. There is symbolism that certainly can be drawn out of all of this activity. Most of it is about Jesus and how he is our sacrifice. But quite a bit of the logistics here are intended to be for the people who had to do the sacrificing. More often than not, we don't just read tech manuals around the shop for the enjoyment of it. We might read them the very first time to get a good sense of them, but from then on out, we kind of use them as reference materials. So because of that, I reduced in my chronological companion to the Bible all the material in the first 7 chapters of the book of Leviticus into a chart, 5 columns across, that talks about the 5 basic offerings that we're going to be dealing with now. And then underneath that, what it was for and where it could come from and all the other specifications that are listed in all of this material. And so if you really would prefer to do it that way, then I would recommend you check out that chart in my chronological companion to the Bible that is on the website, intotheword2020.com. But I think we are actually going to read the text this time through rather than just summarizing them in the form of the chart. And I know that might be tedious at times, but there might be some fine details that we can pick up along the way. Now, when it's a lot of repetition, a lot of repeated material, I'm going to zoom through that pretty quick. But if there are key things that I think we need to zero in on, I'll try to draw those to your attention. I am quite well aware that many people trying to read through the Bible verse by verse from Genesis to the book of Revelation in that sort of order, they get bogged down right around here with all of this technical stuff. So I don't want you to fall into that situation, but I am going to go over the material verse by verse this time through. So let's get started. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. He who is called Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to he who is. So this is a generic worship offering, is this first thing. You shall bring your offering of from livestock from the herd or from the flock. So that's the 2 types of species, either from the sheep and the goats or from the cattle. Verse 3, if his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, and the word for burnt offering here is ola, which means ascending. So the idea is that you're sending this thing up to God entirely. You're not keeping any of it for yourself. So if the offering is from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. So this is where Jesus is tied in symbolically. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting that he may be accepted before he who is. So you have to present it for evaluation by the Levites and the priests. Verse number 4, he shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And so the idea of atonement here is this animal is substituting for the person that's offering it. That's why he puts his hands on its head. This animal is a perfect specimen. It is without sin, and it is standing in my place in worship to God. Verse number 5. He shall kill the bull before he who is, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and throw the blood against the sides of the altar that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So while the person has his hands on the head of the animal, the throat is cut. The animal is not knocked in the head or anything like that. It has its veins in its neck cut completely, and it bleeds out within a matter of seconds. Very quick. That blood, that arterial blood, is caught by the priests who are officiating, and they take it, at least some of it, and they put it against the sides of the altar of burnt offering. Verse 6, then he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it in pieces, and the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire in the altar. This is fire generated by God at the beginning of the use of the tabernacle, and arrange wood on the fire. So they got the fire blazing up really nice. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, the head, the fat, on the wood that is on the fire, on the altar. But its entrails and its legs he shall wash with fire, with water. And the priest shall burn all of it on the altar as a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to he who is. So everything is burned up. The guts are washed down first, and then they're put back on the fire, and everything is completely burned up, and the ashes drop down underneath the grating of this altar. Verse 10, if his gift for a burnt offering is from the flock, so that the first instruction was if you're using a great big animal. Here's what happens if you're using the smaller one. If it's from the flock, from the sheep or the goats, he shall bring a male without blemish, same standard. He shall kill it on the north side of the altar before he who is. So we've got even the precision of which side of the sacrificial altar the sacrifice takes place on. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall throw its blood against the sides of the altar. That's not different. He shall cut it into pieces with its head and its fat, and the priest shall arrange them on the wood that's on the fire of the altar. But the entrails and the legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall offer it over it, all of it, and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to he who is. So the imagination is that God is accepting this as his food. And that's a nice symbolism because you share meals with people that are special with you. And so if God is sharing a meal with the Israelis, that's a good thing. Verse number 14, if his offering to he who is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or pigeons. This is where we find out that sometimes people don't have enough money to buy the larger animals. Certainly not the bull, and possibly not even the sheep or the goat. They might only be able to afford a bird. And so this is how a bird burnt offering is processed. He shall bring his offering of turtle doves or pigeons. That's the only acceptable bird sacrifice. And the priest shall bring it to the altar and wring off its head. So he just pops its head off rather than cutting it off. And burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out on the side of the altar. And he shall remove its crop with its contents and cast it beside the altar on the east side in the place for ashes. He shall tear it open by its wings, but shall not sever it completely. And the priest shall burn it on the altar on the wood that is on the fire. It is a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to he who is. So this means that everybody in Israel has the opportunity of offering a whole burnt offering to God, even if it's only a bird, cost-wise. They still have the chance to make this worship offering in their place. Chapter 2 moves on to grain offerings. When anyone brings a grain offering as an offering to he who is, his offering shall be made of fine flour. He shall pour oil on it and put incense on it, or frankincense on it, and bring it to Aaron, the sons of the priests, and he shall take from it a handful of fine flour and oil, and with all of its frankincense, and the priest shall burn this as a memorial proportion on the altar, a food offering which with a pleasing aroma to he who is. So if you just want to give a grain offering, then you prepare it as fine flour, a little bit of oil, and you've got some frankincense right next to it. And you bring that to the priests, and they burn a little bit of it along with the frankincense, and then you find out what happens to the rest of it. Verse 3. But the rest of the grain offering shall be for Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of he who is his food offerings. So it's part of the priest's payment for being a priest, is to have this grain offering go into his possession. When you bring a grain offering baked in the oven as an offering, so not just plain flour, you actually bring it previously baked. It shall be unleavened loaves of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers smeared with oil. And if your offering is a grain offering baked on a griddle, it shall be a fine flour unleavened mixed with oil. You shall break it in pieces and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. So it's if it's kind of like a cracker sort of thing, then you break it up and then it gets burned up. Remember, this is a manual for the priests as to how they're supposed to process all these different things. If your offering is a grain offering cooked in a pan, so kind of like a pancake, I guess, it shall be made of fine flour with oil, and you shall bring the grain offering that is made of these things to he who is, and when it is presented to the priest, he shall bring it to the altar. The priest shall take from the grain offering its memorial portion, burn it on the altar, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to he who is. But the rest of the grain offering shall be for Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of he who is his food offerings. So when it comes to these grain offerings, however they're prepared, Aaron and the priests, and that group is going to grow over time, they immediately offer a small portion of it to God, and then the rest of it goes into their bellies, into their mealtime. Verse 11, no grain offering that you bring to he who is shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey as a food offering to he who is. So this is part of that idea of not adding this leavening effect to grain offerings. And from this, a lot of people say leaven becomes a symbol of sin. And that is why it's absent from the sacrifices. And I think that's a reasonable assumption to make. Verse 12, as an offering of first fruits, you may bring them to he who is, but they shall not be offered on the altar for a pleasing aroma. So suppose you're bringing the first fruits offering out of your field. They don't get burned up. They apparently get put into the storage that will be used to feed the priests and Levites. You shall season all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be missing from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. The ancients understood that salt was very important. And so if you're offering sacrifices to God, you would salt it, because that's the appropriate thing to do. If you offer a grain offering of first fruits to he who is, you shall offer for the first the grain offering of your first fruits, fresh ears, roasted with fire, crushed new grain. Now, when we talk about fresh ears, don't think of corn on the cob. That's a very Western, almost American sort of thing. The ears that are being talked about here would be the heads of grain, like wheat and barley. And so you take the kernels of that grain, they're roasted up and then crushed. You shall put oil on it and lay frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. The priest shall burn as its memorial portion some of the crushed grain and some of the oil with all of its frankincense. It is a food offering to he who is. And of course, we know the rest of it would go to the priest to eat. Chapter number 3. If his offering is a sacrifice of peace offering. Now, a peace offering is a voluntary offering intended to show, I think, kind of this happiness of just being at peace with God and with other people. So if his offering is a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offers an animal from the herd, male or female, notice the change here. This doesn't have to be male. It can be either gender. He shall still offer it without blemish, because that's important for sacrifice, before he who is. He shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Aaron's sons, the priests, shall throw the blood against the sides of the altar. All that's the same, because this is being given to God. From the sacrifice of the peace offerings as a food offering to he who is, he shall offer the fat covering the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them at the loins and the long lobe of the liver, which I've shared with you before. I think that's a reference to the part of the liver that has the gallbladder in it. And he shall remove the kidneys. So what does he do with all of this material? Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar on top of the burnt offering, which is on the wood of the altar or the fire. It is a food offering with a pleasing aroma to he who is. So you're going to see this part burned up as the sacrifice given to God. If his offering for the sacrifice of peace offering to he who is an animal from the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offers a lamb for his offering, he shall offer it before he who is. Lay his hand on the head of his offering, kill it in front of the tent of meeting. Aaron's son shall throw its blood against the sides of the altar. Then from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, he shall offer as the fat the food offerings to he who is its fat. He shall remove the whole fat tail, cut off close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fats that's on the entrails, the two kidneys that are on the loins, the long lobe of the liver, and remove the kidneys. And the priest shall burn it on the altar as a food offering to he who is. If his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it to he who is. And it goes through the whole same process again. Until we get down to verse number 17, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places that you neither eat fat nor blood. Now, we're not talking about the marbling fat that is through the muscle meat. We're talking about the fat that lays on the inside of the abdominal cavity. All of that sort of fat is supposed to be gotten rid of and burned up to God. So the rest of the animal is going to end up being eaten by the person offering the sacrifice. And since it's a peace offering, it's offered to just show I'm having a good time with the Lord and I'm thankful that he's given me this. And then he shares it with his family, he shares it with his friends, and even with the priests and the Levites. And we'll see some of that mentioned later. Let's move on to a different type of offering now. And this has got to do with a sin offering. Chapter 4. He who is spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, if anyone sins unintentionally in any of he who is his commandments about things not to be done, and does any of them." Now, how can you sin unintentionally? Well, it's an accident. You didn't really intend to do it. That's not what you started out doing. You slipped into it. Maybe you weren't even aware it was a breaking of the rule. That's the sort of thing that's being talked about here. The moment you realize what you did was wrong, you're sorry for it, and so you come and you offer this sacrifice. Now, there is another type of sin that is referred to as the intentional sin or the high-handed sin. And that is a very grievous problem because it's actually the idea that you know what is the wrong thing, you don't care, and you do it anyway. And that is a really bad mindset to be in. But for the Israelis, and actually for those of us that are Christians now, our sins really ought to be unintentional. They ought to be accidental. They ought to be things that we slipped into before we realized what we did, and we're sorry for them as soon as it happens, as soon as we realize that it is a sin, and we immediately appeal to Jesus to get rid of it. We go to the one who is our sacrifice, because all of these sacrifices point to Jesus. Book of Hebrews makes a very big deal out of the fact that the blood of bulls and goats were never sufficient by themselves to remove sin. They were required, yes, but they were all symbolic, pointing to the one who would die once for all to deal with our sin problem. All right, let's get back to the text here of these sin offerings that you're supposed to offer under the Israeli law back at that time, whenever you realized, oh no, I messed up. Verse number 3, if it is the anointed priest who sins, thus bringing guilt on the people. See, if you've got the leader, the spiritual leader that sins, that's going to screw up his leadership. So he has to jump right on the ball and take care of it as well. Then he shall offer for the sin that he's committed a bull from the herd without blemish to he who is for a sin offering. So he has to offer the most expensive, largest sacrifice because he's supposed to be in leadership. He should have a better handle on this. And so when he messes up, he's got to pay the top-notch penalty for it. Verse 4. He shall bring the bull to the entrance of the tent of meeting before he who is, lay his hand on the head of the bull, and kill the bull before he who is. The anointed priest shall take some of the blood of the bull and bring it into the tent of meeting, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle part of the blood 7 times before he who is in front of the veil of the sanctuary. So this blood, on behalf of the priest who represents the people, has to be taken inside the sanctuary building, into the shrine building, and sprinkled 7 times, 7 is a number of completion, in front of the veil. That means toward the Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence is located. Verse 7, the priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of fragrant incense before he who is, that is in the tent of meeting. And this is the only time that a sacrifice comes into contact with the altar of incense that's inside the shrine building, is when a priest is offering the blood of a sin sacrifice on his behalf, and then at Yom Kippur, he's also going to do it on behalf of the people. The rest of the blood of the bull he shall pour out at the base of the altar burnt offering that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. All the fat of the bull of the sin offering he shall remove from it, the fat that covers the entrails and the fat that is on the entrails, the 2 kidneys with the fat that's on the loins and the long lobe of the liver he shall remove from the kidneys, just as these are taken from the ox of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall burn them on the altar burnt offering, but the skin of the bull, all its flesh with its head, its legs, its entrails, and its dung, all the rest of the bull, he shall carry outside the camp to a clean place, to the ash heap, and shall burn it up on a fire of wood. On the ash heap it shall be burned up. This is exactly like happened at the dedication ceremony, when the priests, Aaron, had to first make sure their sins were taken care of before they then engaged in service on behalf of the people. So the parallel is exactly matching here. If the whole congregation of Israel sins unintentionally, and the thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, that means they sinned and they didn't even realize it until later. They do any one of the things that he who is his commandments ought not to be done, and they realize their guilt. When the sin which they have committed becomes known, the assembly shall offer a bull from the herd for a sin offering and bring it into the front of the tent of meeting. The elders of the congregation, that is the representatives of the whole, shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before he who is. The bull shall be killed before he who is. And the anointed priest shall bring some of the blood of the bull into the tent of meeting. The priest shall dip his finger in the blood, sprinkle it seven times before he who is in front of the veil. This is exactly what he did on his own behalf. Now he's doing it on behalf of the people. He shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar that's in front of the tent of meeting before he who is. The rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar, the burnt offering that is at the tent of meeting. And all its fat he shall take from it and burn on the altar. And thus he shall do with the bull, as he did with the bull of the sin offering, so he shall do with this, and the priest shall make atonement for them, and they shall be forgiven. And then he shall carry the bull outside the camp and burn it up as he burned the first bull. It is the sin offering for the assembly. So all of this is intended to deal with sin that was unintentional and then discovered or realized, and they want to get everything back on track again. And we're really quickly running out of time here, so I'm not so sure how much farther I want to go. Let's see, verse number 22. When a leader sins, so here we have a government leader, doing unintentionally any of the things by which the commandments of he who is his God ought not to be done and realizes his guilt or the sin which he committed is made known to him, he shall bring as his offering a goat, a male without blemish. And so we see this same procedure going to go through here again. Anytime people sin and then they suddenly realize it is a sin, they've got to make it right with God. Now that's the way the Israeli people did it. Those of us who are Christians, we make it right with Jesus, who is the atoning sacrifice for our sin.